Practical test standards versus proficiency. How wide is the gap? I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob also operates a flight school in the Buffalo, New York area. We get together on Mondays to talk about safety issues, and they often involve training. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Paul.
All right, let's talk about something mentioned in the February edition of Over the Airwaves. Under the quotable section near the bottom, you quote someone who has taken one of your webinar courses, and his quote is, "I can tell you that I'm tired of studying other canned materials out there just to pass tests." What prompted this comment, and what was he talking about?
Paul, we recently launched a rather successful enterprise, a series of webinars, and the first one was on our private pilot refresher course, and most recently an instrument pilot refresher course. And I must modestly say we have had overwhelming success with this, with a number of participants that have come in on this webinar. And in surveying them after the first three or four sessions, we've surveyed after each session, the comments have been extremely, extremely positive. And almost to the commenter, they express appreciation over the fact that we're talking about real-world aspects of instrument flight, not just the prep-type questions that you need to pass the instrument oral or practical test. And that prompted me to look out, and as I was doing research for these webinars and preparing the slides to go out, you know, so much of the published material, I mean, I want to say 95% of the published material out there, the training materials, are so academically cleansed as to provide the student a laundry list of answers to pass tests. And this is, presumably, why the students are buying the materials, to pass the tests. The purveyors of the materials are preparing them to have students pass the tests. But I keep coming back to our notoriously bad fatal accident rate. Passing the test is not enough. Passing the test is like getting a D in high school and being handed a diploma. No way does that prepare you for the challenges of college life. The same thing is true in the training materials that we have out there.
All right. Now, I guess obviously someone's first goal in going to a flight school is to pass the test. It's very hard for a newcomer to wrap his head around the difference between being ready for the test and being proficient. And I think to some extent, the FAA, you know, practical test is built up to have this reputation of being harder than just proficiency. Your position is it actually has a lot of holes in it.
It does. And not to fault the FAA, I don't know of any way that you can accurately sample the proficiency of a pilot and hope to cover all of the bases. There's just not enough time in the examination process to do it. The original test was designed to be a random sampling of knowledge, but through the Freedom of Information Act, we have all the questions. Heck, we had the National Association of Flight Instructors lobby the FAA to release the test questions in an effort, presumably, to help students get through the test. Well, if we have instructors in flight schools that have figured out and decoded the sampling technique so that we can prepare students just to pass the test, then we've just prepared them to pass a sampling, and that's all they know, and they know the prescribed sampling. If I have a student walk in here in all good faith and I say, you know, it's going to cost $6,000 to pass your private pilot check ride, and it's going to cost you $8,000 to take your wife and family safely in the air, which price do you want to pay?
Mm-hmm.
After a few questions, I have a pretty good answer of which price they will pay. In fact, Paul, I had a student walk in here not too long ago that was really cost conscious and said, up the street, we can learn to fly less expensively than what you're teaching, Bob. And he said, and I said, well, that is a concern. He says, well, for me, it's a particular concern. My wife is expecting our first child and money is tight. And I said, sir, with all due respect, you can save even more money by taking your wife and going south of the border, and in a little adobe hut, you can find yourself a way to have that child delivered far less expensively than in a modern, sanitary, clean, technically advanced American hospital. He said, Bob, I see your point. And that is the point. I mean, you can get things done less expensively, but if safety, and that's, we don't necessarily use the word proficiency, we say, do you want to become a safe pilot so that you can enjoy a lifelong experience flying airplanes? Or do you want to just pass the test? You know, and that's a genuine question, and I challenge any flight instructor or flight school listening here to ask that question, and I can predict what the answers will be.
Well, you'll obviously get a sampling of both.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, if you ask it sincerely, I can get you through the test, or I can teach you to fly your family safely through the skies. Which way do you want to go? Now, you might get some immature individuals, maybe some young people coming up. They're going through the rating scale. They want to become, commercial airline pilots, and they want to 1, 2, 3, 4 get through the test in hopes that the airline will finally teach them how to fly. I only have to point to Colgan 3407 crash up here in Buffalo, where we had documented evidence of two flight crew members who had some real weaknesses in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you'll find some people, though, who will interpret your question, no matter how sincerely you pose it, as an either-or sales pitch.
Sure, it could be perceived as a sales pitch, but getting back to the point, if all we do is teach to the test, and that's been a long-standing point of debate in the flight instruction community, a few people say, most people will say, no, we don't just teach to the test. We produce safe pilots. Otherwise, they would not get through the check ride. But the check ride has been decoded. That's a sampling of technique that has been decoded. When I say decoded, you cannot fail. Well, in theory, I suppose, the examiner can fail for any reason, but he's hard-pressed to fail a student on an element that is not specifically addressed in the practical test standards. In fact, if he fails one of our students, I'll say to the examiner, all right, which element did he fail? And the examiner can't come back to me and say, well, I just didn't like the way he controlled the airplane. Well, all right, aircraft control is one of the elements. But he can't fail them for the inability to fly solely by reference to the instruments at night. He can't fail them if he takes them out on a gusty, crosswindy day. The student can, either refuse to take the test or reschedule it at another time. There are many aspects of learning to fly that are important safety elements that are not necessarily covered in the practical test standards. So, teaching to the test is not the way we should be going. And I say this again as evidence of the enthusiasm that we've had for our webinar course. The people are really, truly wanting to learn, I believe, the real world. Don't give me the textbook. I mean, I need the textbook. I understand that. I need to know the rules. But tell me for real, what am I going to expect when I get in there in the National Airspace System? Tell me what it's like to learn to fly in Kansas and take my first cross-country flight up the Eastern Seaboard on a Friday afternoon. That's what I need to know.
Well, let's talk when we come back from the break for a minute, Bob, about how you can accomplish that in a webinar, because you've got an interesting approach. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, talking about the difference between the minimum requirements to pass the practical test standards and proficiency and training to reach them. Bob, obviously, a flight school has a lot of pressures from the FAA. You know, for example, if an instructor doesn't get 90% of his recommendees through the check ride on the first try, he's got some questions to answer. So there's always going to be some focus on that. Your webinars are an interesting situation in that you set them out from the start as not being prep for primary flight students in either a regular private certificate or an instrument certificate. What are they? What are you trying to do? And what can you do to improve someone's proficiency in an online session?
What we try to do is take a combination of theory, aviation theory, instrument theory, and then interpose it into real world narrative scenarios. Now, we've talked a lot about scenario-based training. Let's weave some scenario-based training into the materials that we're reading, for example. Take the Bible of aeronautical knowledge. In fact, that's what it's called, the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, published by the FAA. All theory. I mean, it's very, very dry reading. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but it's very dry reading. Let's sprinkle that with real world examples. Sure, it may be a little thicker publication. Let's take the handbook of the Aviation Flying Handbook, again published by the FAA. Instead of just talking about how we do steep turns and how we do power off stalls, let's interpose in that examples of where power off stalls result. I mean, realistically, even if we have to, on a sidebar, cleanse the names, but tell of a specific example where a new pilot buzzed his girlfriend after getting his private pilot certificate, pulled up into a sharp climb, and then stalled in a power-on situation, stalled, yawed, and spinned, and died. Put that in the context of the theory that we're trying to teach. Now, I have an advantage as a teacher that a lot of young instructors do not. I've been flying for over 35 years, you know, and with better than 11,000 hours of flying, I've got lots of stories to tell. And I can tell those stories in a very colorful fashion in a way that makes the theory come alive. Now, not every young flight instructor can do that, but he or she ought to have at least tools in his bag of tricks and on the bookshelf to say, here, read this. Now, in fairness, there are many aftermarket books and lots of articles have been written about, you know, I'll never do that again, or personal experiences, but those personal experiences need to be tied back to specific points of fact or theory that's important for us to learn. Let me just give you one very good example, a very close example.
Okay.
One of the most notoriously bad regulations is FAR 91.185, what to do in the event of radio failure in IMC conditions. That regulation is so badly out of date in today's modern airspace system as to be almost dangerous in its existence. But it's one thing to say that. It's quite another to give real-life illustrations and examples, scenarios, if you will, showing that if you follow 91.185 the way it's written, in that scenario, you have a far greater risk of a bad outcome than if you did something else. And then, of course, we tell what that something else could be. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to personalize through real-world experiences, actual experiences. I'd love to be able to expand the format of these webinars to bring in other experts, people who have had solid experiences in this kind of thing. You know, it's just adding an element of realism to what is otherwise a very formal affair.
Bob, we appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Okay, Paul. Thank you very much.
You can find the February issue of Bob Miller's monthly newsletter, which was released yesterday, and links to his flight school at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.